The first readings from Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed round him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then a woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, beginning at verse 7. "Since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much does not have too much, and the one who gathered little does not have too little.
Let's pray for Andrew as he comes to speak. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that you've given Andrew this morning. Inspired by your Spirit, we pray that you open our hearts to hear what you want to say to us deeply within and to motivate us to action. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, everyone. Second reading of Paul's is urging the church at Corinth to give financially to the people, to the believers in Jerusalem. But this morning, I'm not going to be talking about financial giving, but instead about the wider field of generosity. Now, I wonder if Jesus or Paul was around today, will they be talking or touching on about the giving of time? Because a lot of people find that giving of time is more valuable than money, because often people give money out of a relative wealth. When Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians, there's a lot of it where it actually has been quite hard on them, but it's because they were not doing things right, and he was doing it out of love. But this second letter, you know, he's really sort of building them up. He's really trying to explain to them what they have and how beneficial it is. And that's really why they should have a generous spirit. In chapter 3 of the second letter, Paul wrote, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who have unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory." And he goes on in chapter 4, "God made his light shine on our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We live by faith, not by sight. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ for things done, whether good or bad. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are Christ's ambassadors." In chapter 6, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk with them." Chapter 7, "Our holiness is perfected out of reverence for God." Quite a few of us here have been on the Alpha courses recently, and people have been hearing about their sort of journey of faith and how their character has changed. And for some, it's been a matter of being able to forgive. And others, one or two others, it's been a fact, whereas before, they would just happily walk by and not help someone in need. I don't think it's by accident that the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Jesus summed up the Mosaic Law as, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And secondly, to love your neighbours yourself." In Galatians, Paul condensed the entire law to just the second part of that, just love your neighbours as yourself. But what can we learn from the gospel reading? Jesus had just healed a demon-possessed man. He'd crossed the lake in a boat. He's met by a crowd of people, including Jairus, who wanted Jesus to come and heal his little daughter. In accepting it, Jesus was fulfilling one of his purposes, to bring healing. You may recall at Nazareth when he read from the scroll of Isaiah, it was to bring freedom of the prisoner and recovery of the sight of the blind. Now, doing God's work can be physically tiring, and we hear that, we can read that Jesus actually felt strength going from him when the lady actually touched his cloak. It was strength tiring. But he was not going to be distracted by the words, message that he had that the girl had died, or the mockers at the house. He just kept going. And what he did was bring glory to God. But if you read the gospel readings in several places, after he'd done some of his great miracles, obviously he was physically tired and spiritually tired, so he went off to pray and to recuperate. But what about us? We live in a world where there are people of no faith or different faith who do many good works. Generally, we should be thankful, even if their motives might be a bit suspect from pride, guilt, or just self-promotion. Having a spirit of generosity does not come from what we do, but it comes from what we are. It does not come from what we do, but it comes from what we are. And Jesus told people that they'll be recognized by their fruit. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, wrote, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Andy Carmichael wrote, "You can always give without loving, but you can never love without giving. You can always give without loving, but you can never love without giving." Charles Spurgeon said, "Giving is true having." Henry Drummond, "The most obvious lesson Christ's teaching is there's no happiness in having or getting anything, but only in giving." On one of the Alfea video clips, there's a range of young people who are asked what they would most like to have. And the majority said they would like to be loved. We know we have a Father who loves us deeply, is gentle, kind, and forgiving. It is simply a matter of allowing the Holy Spirit in us to work through, to pass on that love to others. It might be in practical use of our natural talents or gifts, being a serving helper for community organization, visiting someone who is unwell, being a good listener, or small acts of kindness that lights up a person's day. Bishop Michael Curry at the recent Royal Wedding reminded us there's power in love, and ultimately the source of God, love, is God himself. Those who do not love do not know God. Generally, we have little idea of the impact our loving behavior makes, but sometimes there are tangible, unexpected blessings. Many of you know that I'm actually a surveyor, so I go around people's houses. And a few years ago, I was down the bottom end of Old Heath Road, looking over this house. And to be honest with you, when I'm going around, I often pick up little bits and pieces about the people who live in the house. I'm just picking up things all the time. And I noticed a lady was obviously a Christian. She had some bits and pieces. And over a cup of coffee, I quietly asked her, you know, where she was moving and why, and that sort of where she's moving. And she said, well, that her husband, she was a German lady, husband had been a British soldier, and he had left her. And she clearly was not in a very good state or place. And I said a few words to her. I possibly actually mentioned the benefit of learning how to forgive. Anyway, I thought no more about it. And about a year later, I was at another part of Colchester, and suddenly this woman ran across the road to me. And she said, "You probably don't remember me, but last year you came and looked over my house, and you were like an angel to me." I was stunned. You know, I thought, I didn't think I'd done anything special at all. But obviously I must have shown somehow a few kind words of loving Perhaps I've been in God's hands that day. I don't know. But it's, you know, it gives you a real uplift if you see that God has worked by something you hadn't even intended to do. It's just wonderful. Generosity does extend in how we use our money. But normally that's not seen. But what you may see in someone is a character that is gentle, loving, kind, forgiving, and patient. Close with a short prayer. Lord, help us to know the power of your love in our lives, to have more of the Holy Spirit, for our character to be generous and passing on that redemptive power of love to others. Amen.